Jesus is the best thing that's ever going to come our way. He is the only way. John says he is the way, the truth, and the life. No one will come unto God except through him.
The church is one foundation, is Jesus Christ her Lord.
Foundations for Living is the radio ministry of Van Buren United Methodist Church and is underwritten by our friends at Fincan and Ford in Hartford City. We are happy you tuned in, and we invite you to be our guest as we listen to Reverend Cindy Osgood, pastor of Van Buren United Methodist Church, and we explore together Foundations for Living.
Good morning. Welcome to the Van Buren United Methodist Church.
Let there be praise, let there be joy in our hearts. Sing to the Lord, give him the glory. Let there be praise, let there be joy in our hearts. Forevermore, let us fill the air and let there be praise. He inhabits the praise of his people and dwells deep within. The peace that he gives none can equal, for his love it knows no end. So lift your voices with gladness, sing, proclaim through all the earth that Jesus Christ is King. Let there be praise, let there be joy in our hearts. Sing to the Lord, give him the glory. Joy in
scripture lesson for today comes from Luke chapter 17, verses 11 through 19. Now, on his way to Jerusalem, Jesus traveled along the border between Samaria and Galilee, and he was going into a village. 10 men who had leprosy met him. They stood at a distance and called out in a loud voice, "Jesus, Master, have pity on us." When he saw them, he said, "Go show yourselves to the priests." And as they went, they were cleansed. One of them, when he saw he was healed, came back praising God in a loud voice. He threw himself at Jesus' feet and thanked him, and he was a Samaritan. Jesus asked, "Were not all 10 cleansed? Where are the other 9? Has no one returned to give praise to God except this foreigner?" Then he said to him, "Rise and go. Your faith has made you well."
Linda read to you out of the book of Luke chapter 11, chapter 17. Jesus is meeting there with 10 lepers who have come to Jesus, and he heals them, sends them on their way, and one of them decides, this was such a phenomenal thing, that he decides he's going back to give thanks to Jesus. And out of that decision to go back, Jesus says to him, "Go and tell the world you've been made well. Go home and share the good news with others." We don't know what happened to the other 10. We assume they were made well, but it wasn't important enough for them to come back and say thank you. And so we need to not miss the opportunity to say thank you to God when we have the opportunity, because God is an amazing person. God is worthy to be thanked. We should be thanking him on a regular basis. Hopefully we are. We turn to the book of Mark this morning. John the Baptizer appeared in the wilderness proclaiming a baptism of repentance for the forgiveness of sins. And people from the whole Judean countryside and all the people of Jerusalem were going down to him and were baptized by him in the River Jordan, confessing their sins. And then, after John was arrested, Jesus came to Galilee proclaiming the good news of God and saying, "The time is fulfilled. The kingdom of God has come near. Repent and believe in the good news." As Jesus passed along the Sea of Galilee, he saw Simon and his brother Andrew casting a net into the sea, for they were fishermen. And Jesus said to them, "Follow me, and I will make you fish for people." And immediately they left their nets and followed him. And he went a little further, and he saw James, the son of Zebedee, and his brother John, who were in their boat mending the nets. And immediately he called them, and they left their father Zebedee in the boat and the hired men and followed after Jesus. They went to Capernaum, and when the Sabbath came, Jesus entered the synagogue and taught. And they were astounded at his teaching, for he taught them as one having authority and not as the scribes. And then in the early morning, while it was still dark, Jesus got up and went out to a deserted place, and there he prayed. And Simon and his companions hunted for him. When they found him, they said to him, "Everyone is searching for you." And he answered, "Let us go to the neighboring towns so that I may proclaim the message there also, for that is what I came out to do." And he went through Galilee, proclaiming the message in their synagogues and casting out demons. But he went out and began to proclaim it freely and to spread the word that Jesus could no longer go into a town openly, but stayed out in the country. And the people came to him from every quarter. This is the word of God.
Thanks be to God.
Amen. When John Wesley began to preach, and he preached about things that people didn't want to hear, it got to the point where he no longer could preach in England. He had to go out into the countryside because they didn't like what he was preaching. He was preaching a message of revival. He was preaching a message of reformation, or reformation, if you will. And they didn't like it. So he went out to the countryside and began to preach out in the fields, because that's where he could preach what God had laid and was laying on his heart to preach, to bring revival and reformation to the people of England. You know, when we read in the book of Mark this week, there's lots of places where Jesus is preaching to people who are dealing with difficult things. There's leprosy. There's people with demons. There's people with physical illness. There are people that get brought in through roofs who have the courage to break in through a roof and drop men down in the midst of people because there isn't any room for them to go in through the door. And so they take the courage to drop them in through the ceiling and present them before Jesus. And Jesus says, take your bed, get up and walk because your faith has made you well. Story about a woman who suffered with illness all of her life and it wasn't getting any better. And she said, if I can just touch him, if I can just touch the hem of his garment, I know I'll be made well. And they're walking down the street because the man comes and tells them that Jairus' daughter, one of the servants, his daughter is ill and is dying. And so he's on his way to see Jairus' daughter. We have this story of the woman with an issue of blood, and Jesus feels the energy go out of his body. And he said, who touched me? And one of his disciples says, well, how in the world do you know that? He said, there are people all around you. He said, I felt the energy go out of my body. And the woman came back and said, I'm the one who touched you. I'm the one who approached you. And he told her not to worry, that her illness had been made well. And right there and then, she was relieved of that 12-year-long issue. There's story after story after story in the scriptures about how people were willing to step out in faith and to go to Jesus and to be made well and to be changed. And you heard that scripture that I read to you earlier this morning. The kingdom is coming. The kingdom is near. The kingdom is now. You see, we think that the kingdom of God is something that's out there in another world that we're waiting to get to. See, actually, it's right here. It's here right now. Because we belong to Jesus, we are part of the kingdom of God right here, right now. It's not something that's coming down the road or something that's already been. It's here right now. And we need to claim that. We also need to understand that Jesus is the best thing that's ever going to come our way. He is the only way. John says he is the way, the truth, and the life. No one will come unto God except through him. You know, the world says there's this way, that way, and 100 other ways. But there's only one, and it's through Jesus Christ. We live in a world right now where there's a lot of change going on. Some of that change is represented right here in this room. Several years ago, one of my colleagues, Marty Lundy, was doing her D-Men study. And she was sharing with some of us that in any given congregation, there are 3 out of 5 people dealing with a chronic illness or something that no one knows anything about. And I want you to think about that for a minute. Look at the number of people in your row. Count off 5. You may not have a problem, but there may be 4 or 3 of the people on either side of you that have got a problem. But you realize that when you count around, they're counting you in their 5. So that means that every one of us, in some way or another, is going through change. If you think about this congregation this morning, we've had 2 individuals who have moved into a new residence, sold their homes, moved into a new place. Now, that's a good thing on one hand, but it's a challenging thing on another because it's transition, it's adjustment, it's difference. It's getting used to a new lifestyle. It's getting used to a new way of doing things. There are people who are dealing with other challenges in their life that have brought heartache, have brought difficulty, and bring opportunities for other decision-making for what to do going forward. There are people who are dealing with day-to-day, ongoing health crisis, cancer, heart disease, fibromyalgia. You fill in the blank. You fill in the blank. People dealing with financial crises. And when you don't have enough money to make ends meet and you're living day to day, that's a challenge. Because it robs you of your joy. It robs you of your ability to feel comfortable. It robs you of your ability to know that it's all going to come to an end. That you don't feel like there's any light at the end of the tunnel. You just see that constant stress and strain of how am I going to meet those expenses every week or every month or whatever it is. We live in a world of change. There are things going on around us that we've never seen historically. You can go into a bathroom, whether you're the right sex or the wrong sex. You can do all kinds of things. And how do we address those things as a Christian community? What do we say about them? The Christian family as a body, the family as a whole. I said to you a couple weeks ago, the families are messy and conflict is inevitable. I've seen that borne out more times than you can imagine. And it will continue to be so. But the one thing I do know, and that is this, and that is that Jesus is the one and the only word that can speak to all of the things that are happening in your life and in mine. Do you believe that? Jesus is the one and the only thing that can speak to all of those things. And the only way we know that is we have to read it. We have to study it. We have to be into it because, as I said to you last week, I invited you, I challenged you, but I also invited you to continue to read that word. Because we have young folks in this sanctuary this morning that we can be mentoring and discipling. Whether or not they have parents, even if they have their own parents and their own grandparents, we can still be mentors and disciples to other people's kids. Because sometimes they may not hear it from mom and dad. Do you remember when you were a teenager? How you thought your mom and dad were just the stupidest people in the world. They were stupid. What did they know? They don't know anything. But it's amazing how they might just hear it from somebody else's mom and dad that they look up to. And it's amazing how when they get to be 25 or so, suddenly mom and dad become the wisest people on the earth. I don't know what it is. Whether it's because they leave home and they suddenly have to figure out that they have to do the laundry. They have to get the studying done. They have to get the stuff done that mom and dad always did for them. And suddenly, you know what? Mom and dad aren't as stupid as they thought that they thought they were. But there's somebody out there. There's some young man or young woman who needs a word from you, needs a word from me that might just make the difference in them hearing the good news of Jesus Christ and having a word that will make a difference in their life going forward. You know, I've told you that there were people in my life over the years that were mentors who invested. They were Joanne and they were Vivian and they were Mary Jo and they were Ethel. And, you know, those names sound really old to me now. But they were the people. They were the people that discipled. They were the people that mentored. And it wasn't just on Sunday morning. It was other times as well. We have, like I said, folks who are going through lots of change. And day to day, it's pretty difficult because we don't know from day to day what's happening next. We don't know what's happening next. And I want us to pray together as a body of Christ this morning. Because that's how we have to do this. We have to come together around one another, with and for one another, in order to deal with what's going on in our lives. But always remember that no matter what the circumstances, Jesus has our back. He is our best news. He is the one to whom we have to look forward to face. Now, that doesn't mean when we hand it over to him that everything's suddenly going to become rosy and perfect. You see, God doesn't take away the problems of the world. Jesus, God, and the Holy Spirit help us get through the surgeries. Help us get through the heart cath. Help us get through the losses in our life. Help us get through the physical ailments. Help us deal with our families. Help us deal with all the stuff that's going on in our life so that we can then come back like the leper and say, thank you for what you've done and what you're doing in my life and those of others. Because that won't be the end. I'm sorry to say. That won't be the end. There'll be something else that will come up. We all know that, don't you? Change is an inevitable part of life. The question is, how do we deal with it? And we can deal with it by burying our heads in the sand and pretending it's not there and just keep going on and doing. Or we can say, God, here's my life. Here's my circumstances. You are the one who can take care of things. You tell me what to do. You help me know what to do. Let me read you a text out of Joshua for just a minute. Joshua took over from Moses, and they're getting ready to carry the covenant into the promised land. This is chapter 3, beginning with verse 1 through 3. Early in the morning, Joshua rose and set out from Shittim and all the Israelites. And they came to the Jordan, and they camped there before crossing over. At the end of 3 days, the officers went through the camp and commanded the people, when you see the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord your God being carried by the Levitical priest, then you shall set out from your place. Follow it so you may know the way you should go, for you have not passed this way before. We go places that we haven't been before, but God does know the place. God knows the direction. And God will lead us in the right direction. He will be there to walk with us through the challenges of life. Let's pray together as the body of Christ. And let's support one another at the body of Christ in our struggles with health, our struggles with illness, our struggles with life change, our struggles with all of the things that are possibly weighing on us. And offer those to God, who can be with us and is with us and wants us to turn ourselves completely over to Him. We pray for every person here. Pray that they know your presence in their life and that they have made a decision to follow after you and ask you to forgive them of their sins and that they can walk closely with you each and every day. They give their hearts, their lives, and their minds over to you. Help us with the changes that come in our life that we don't always understand and anticipate or expect, but that we give them to you and trust you for them. And we give you thanks and praise for all of these things and all of God's people said. Amen. Now go out into the world, taking with you the kingdom of God that has fallen upon us. And may He walk with you this week, and may you encounter someone who needs a measure of His blessing, and may you offer it to Him, and He has offered it to you this day. Amen. And go in peace.
want to thank you for being a part of Foundations for Living this morning and remind you that every Sunday morning at 9:30, we meet in the sanctuary at the Van Buren United Methodist Church. We would love to have you come and be a part of us here in Van Buren, or join us on the air again next week with Foundations for Living. Also, you may hear this and other messages on our website at vanburenumc.org. You have been listening to Foundations for Living, a presentation of the Van Buren United Methodist Church, underwritten by Finn Cannon Ford of Hartford City.